Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Halloween. It's Friday, October 31st. I'm Elizabeth Arcalian. After you load up on candy tonight, why not try some pan de muerto this weekend? The traditional Mexican sweetbread is served up as part of Dia de los Muertos, being celebrated Saturday and Sunday.
Pan fino, also known as pan de yema. The taste is so good. It's so powerful. That one's mixed with cinnamon. With the hot chocolate, it's gonna blow your mind.
Our newsroom takes a closer look at the people keeping traditions alive in the valley. But first, these headlines. A new poll from UC Berkeley and the LA Times shows 6 in 10 likely voters in California support Proposition 50. That's the measure to temporarily redraw congressional districts to favor Democrats. A special election is taking place on Tuesday, and polls suggest the measure could pass overwhelmingly. Critics of the measure scaled back their advertising dramatically with just days left to vote. Pollsters said one surprising finding in their survey was how engaged and informed voters were about the proposition. Transportation officials in Fresno County are exploring an idea to build a regional rail system to connect rural communities. The Fresno Council of Governments is looking into environmental and economic factors of building a light rail system. It would connect communities from east and western Fresno County. The project would operate exclusively on clean energy sources. A tribal group in Central California is celebrating the return of thousands of acres of land back from the state. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado reports.
The governor's office announced this week that it was returning just over 17,000 acres of ancestral land back to the Tule River Indian Tribe in Tulare County. This marks the largest land return in the Central Sierra Nevada region. And officials also say it's a milestone in the state's efforts to address historical wrongs against the state's Indian tribes. As part of the land back deal, elk will also be reintroduced onto the land. This signals a focus to restore critical ecosystems within the land. Tribal leaders say the land's return will help them expand food and medicine resources. The Tule River Indian Tribe once inhabited 91,000 acres. Today, it's around 55,000. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
A UC Davis report found an 85% loss of trees at California elementary schools between 2018 and 2022. Most of those losses were concentrated in Central Valley schools. Maureen Villarette is a UC Davis postdoc and an author of the study. She says tree canopy plays an important role in student health, especially as heat waves become more frequent.
They provide us with cooling shade, and additionally to that, they have an important recreational benefit, and they have a strong positive impact on our mental health as well.
Authors of the report say the Central Valley is likely seeing more losses due to its increasingly hot and dry climate, which can be inhospitable for trees that may have thrived there a century ago. California schoolyards overall currently have an average tree canopy cover of 6.4%.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from the members of KVPR. Join at $8 or more per month and access ad-free NPR podcasts through NPR Plus. Give now at kvpr.org/donate.
And now to our main story. Although many of us will spend the next few days in a candy-induced coma after trick-or-treating tonight, many others will continue celebrating through the weekend. That's when the traditional Mexican holiday, Dia de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead, begins. The holiday honors lost loved ones by inviting them back into our homes and giving them provisions for their journey to the afterlife. The holiday is much more than commercialized sugar skulls and skeletons adorned with flowers. It's a deep fusion of indigenous mythology and symbolism with Catholic Christian rituals associated with All Souls Day celebrations. And although everyone celebrates a little differently, KVPR decided to take today's episode to shed some light on three of the key ingredients to honor the occasion. The sweetbread, known as pan de muerto. the cempasúchil, or those bright orange marigolds, and the altar that anyone can make called an ofrenda. All of these are essential parts to celebrating a good Día de los Muertos. Our newsroom came together to bring you this series of stories, and we begin in a Clovis bakery with KVPR's Israel Cardona Hernandez.
Rosy Garcia starts every day the same way, with a hot drink and a Mexican pastry.
Yesterday I had a latte with a concha.
That's a colorful sweet bread in the shape of a seashell. But this time of year, she has a clear favorite.
Pan fino, also known as pan de yema. The taste is so good, it's so powerful. That one's mixed with cinnamon. With the hot chocolate, it's gonna blow your mind.
Garcia runs a bakery, Panadería Café Oaxaca. And pan fino is one of their specialties for Día de los Muertos. It's a small loaf crisscrossed with strips of dough and sprinkled with sugar or seeds.
There's so many meanings behind it, like the round pan de muertos, which are the more traditional pan de muertos, signify like the cycle of life. The little figuritas that we put on top are bones. And then there's like a little ball on top of it, and that's like our brain or our heart.
There are many kinds of pan de muerto, or bread of the dead. Some from the Mexican state of Oaxaca are more human-like.
They decorate it with white frosting, and they could put somebody's names, they could add flowers, they could add a huge figure, and I think those are the ones that take the longest time to make, but they're so pretty once they're done.
Inside the bakery, the air is warm and sweet. The scents of sugar and butter mix with faint spice of anise. This tradition began with her grandfather, who first opened a bakery in Oaxaca. And it's now stretched here in the U.S., across decades and generations.
My mom's side of the family, her dad was a baker. She became a baker, and she introduced all this to us. And now it's in our blood, so you just keep it going.
Garcia now works alongside both her parents and her two brothers. And they meet together at 3 in the morning. That's so they have time to mix, bake, and decorate their breads in order to fill their display cases by 7 a.m. People buy pan de muerto to eat, but also to place in their home altars known as ofrendas.
Every bread that's shaped like a human, it's meant to signify a loved one that you have that's already passed away. And so you buy that bread and you put it in your ofrenda and be like, I'm so thankful that you were here in my life and this one's for you.
But she warns, any food on your ofrenda is off limits until the holiday is over. She has a story of what can happen if you disrespect the spirits. Let's just say she doesn't want to talk about it.
Oof, it's not a pretty one. It's not a pretty one.
That's why before placing the bread on the ofrenda, she recommends breaking off a piece for yourself first. With KVPR News, I am Israel Cardona Hernandez, surrounded by the smell of pan de muerto.
And I'm Samantha Rangel, surrounded by another sweet but earthy smell. Here in southwest Fresno, hundreds of thousands of bright orange petals glow, as if they hold their own light. Rogelio Sierra owns this marigold farm. He says the flowers remind him of his childhood.
Ah, recuerdos. Recuerdos de mi infancia.
He remembers how much he enjoyed the flowers' aroma inside his parents' home in the small town of San Miguel Cuevas in Oaxaca, Mexico. But people love the blossoms here, too. Everywhere you look, people are walking through the fields. Families, couples, young children even. Some with their hands in the soil, carefully picking the stems one by one.
Siento que hay mucha fiesta, hay fiesta porque llega mucha gente.
He says he feels lots of excitement to see people buying his flowers, taking photos, and more than anything, simply taking in the sight. But they're not just here because the flowers are pretty. As Día de los Muertos approaches, the flowers take on a deep significance.
Pues los llamamos flores de muertos, el Día de los Muertos.
He says they're called flowers of the dead for this special holiday.
Porque la gente se acuerda de su familia.
People remember their family and the loved ones they lost, he says, and these flowers help bring them back briefly. The flowers, called cempasúchiles, are placed on ofrendas. Many believe the fragrance of the cempasúchil can lead those souls back to their family homes to spend one more day in spirit with the living. The flowers help Sierra honor his past, too. He says he lost his father 27 years ago, and the flowers help him reminisce in these days leading up to the holiday. Rogelio started this business around 8 years ago with just a handful of plants. Now, he estimates 90,000 marigolds stretch across his 3 acres of land, creating a blanket of golden petals. He sells the flowers from August through November. People can pick them, buy them in bouquets, and, of course, take lots of photos. He says he hears wow the most. People are excited to be able to buy the flowers so fresh from his farm. And that makes him proud. It feels good to do good, for the living and the dead, he says. With KVPR News, I'm Samantha Rangel in a glowing field of flowers.
And I'm Rachel Livinall in a Los Banos living room where Dia de los Muertos is coming together. This is where Monique Mawad has been setting out an ofrenda every October for decades. I'll let her tell that story.
Tradition says that if you don't have an ofrenda, if you don't honor your ancestors, either they're going to come back and haunt you, or somewhere or another your family gets cursed. My name is Monique Mary Montefiore Mawad. I am 56, old as dirt. I'm a teacher in Los Baños Unified School District. I've been working there, I think, 33 years. Different grades this year. I'm doing second grade. This is this year's 2025 ofrenda. I try to incorporate the traditional principles, like it has four levels here. Four levels represent the four points of the earth. And on this level, I have an airplane because we always put things that represent the people that are deceased. So my dad worked for Continental Airlines. I have my pan de muerto over there. And this is traditional pan de muerto. My favorite one is the one that has seeds, and I can show you a piece. I ate the other one. I have candles all over the place because the candles represent one of the four elements, which is fire. It helps light the way to lead the dead back to my ofrenda because I want them to come visit. You always put like calaveras, or like skeletons. This particular one, she has a big 1900s style a hat. She's got her mascara on. She always has the high cheekbones, but like the style of the face is so different than American Western style skeletons. It's like very beautiful. Like I think she looks very happy. She doesn't look scary. She doesn't look dead. All the way from pre-Columbian time, the Aztecs would put actual skull heads of the people that they sacrificed around their pyramids and around their altars. So they thought that if they did that, it would attract, you know, the deceased to come back because their head's there, you know, and they would do similar things, would leave food out. They used the marigold flower, the cempasúchil. They would put that out. They would burn incense. They had their rattles out, and I also have my rattles. These are Aztec bracelets, and when the Aztec dancers dance, you'll see these on their arms. When they're dancing, part of it too is warding off the bad, the evil, like a cleansing. Dia de los Muertos is important to me because, you know, like anybody, the thought of death and eternity is like really scary. You can't have life without death, and you can't have death without life. This kind of reminds us that death is not like you die and that's it and you're gone. Your spirit still lives. It doesn't just the body dies, but the soul lives forever. It just goes to another dimension. And I've experienced the death of both my mom and my dad, and it still bothers me that they're gone, but I always lean back to this day knowing that they're back with me.
Thanks so much for sharing your tradition and your ofrenda with me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my absolute pleasure.
That was so cool to hear those stories of people keeping traditions alive here in the Valley. Dia de los Muertos will be celebrated on November 1st and 2nd. And if you want to learn more about this vibrant holiday, you can find public ofrendas at many museums and community spaces throughout the Valley. And that is today's show. This episode was produced by Carrie Klein, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.